us lend a helping hand.
We are the world. We are the children.
We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
This is the trillion dollar flow tonight. We're going into the full moon and chemtrails and stuff going on. I'm calling you. Tonight I'm going to have Mary to read the 23rd number song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mary, when you get that press one on your phone, Mary's going to read the 23rd number song. But while she's getting that to read it, prophecy for 2019, 2020, 22 and 23. In 2019, we started with the virus. And in the midst of the virus, people died because we didn't have the right person involved. 2022, we're going through a drug crisis right now. That means that people are taking cocaine and they're mixing with these pills and they're dying out of young folks. You said the press is playing up the shooting, but they ain't playing up how many people being killed by drug overdose in the suburbs, in the city, in Detroit, Chicago, New York, California. If we got a drug problem in America. We have addiction problem in America. And won't nobody deal with it, they play passive. And Washington, D.C., the Republican Democrats have not passed gun laws to ban assault weapons. There's no reason that we need machine guns in Mississippi, Chicago, in these schools. Now, we're going to have some more killing in the school, more shooting, because they will not take the right measure. First, have a lockdown in the school and put metal detectors in these schools. Your kids will be there safe. Now, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want your kids to be safe, you need to do something different. You need to homeschool your kids. Tonight, I want to bring the 20, this is the full moon, and that means this is the harvest moon. What do that mean? If you got to need, you plant a seed. See, if you plant a seed, you reap the harvest. The harvest is coming. The shooting, the killing. You know, you're going to hear about someone. I was telling a young lady, you need to stay in the house because so many people's minds are messed up. They're all crossed up. And you have to understand, one of my prophecies is there will be a meeting called from Washington, D.C. They're going to call Chicago, New York, Minnesota, Detroit, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, Indiana, Wisconsin. Meeting was called about global warming because in the winter months, we're going to see snow like we've never seen before because of all this stuff that's in the element. This is going to happen in 22, 23, going into 24, this prophecy. The second prophecy is there will be a death in the Supreme Court. Yes. And it's going to take effect in 23, 24, 25. This is Supreme Court. Why? Because they're not doing what God told them. This is somebody. And then we got another death coming in the Congress. I don't know if it's a Democrat, Republican, but I just see that happening in the latter part of 23, going into 24, and maybe in 25, there's two people. The third prophecy, there will be floods in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Texas, and Illinois, and some part of Missouri. And these floods are going to come back to back. Now, when I get in, the third prophecy is fire over in the Midwest, fire in South Dakota, a fire in Plaster, Arizona, fire from lightning strike. Now, prophecy number four, get this down, is earthquake in China, Italy. And that will be an earthquake in Alaska. And that will be an earthquake in Russia, earthquake in California, and an earthquake throughout Missouri down that fault from Illinois to Missouri to Tennessee. This is going to be happening in 23, 24, 25. Now, in the prophecy for 26, you need to change your diet, get off of this made food, and begin to get greens, cornbread, and the substance to help your body. It's important to understand it's a whole change taking place with your body, mind, and soul. So if that's taking place, you got to get ready for a change. I'm going to have Mary to read the 23rd number of Psalms right now. Okay. Okay, Mary, you can read 23rd number of Psalms.
Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell with the Lord forever. Amen. I just read 23rd number song.
God bless you tonight. That's the 23rd number song. And I just think we need to listen to the 23rd, the Lord is my shepherd. And right now, with what's going on with the violence, with what's going on, we have to rely on God. We have to make our mind up that we're going to hold on to God. We're praying for those people. The queen have crossed over to the other side. And we're praying for those families and those countries that are upset about that. I had a couple of calls, but I had already prophesied the death of some of this stuff that's happening. I want you to get ready tonight for God to bless you. If this is the harvest moon, and I would like for you to read the 23rd number of Psalms in your home. Open your Bible to the 23rd number of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. It's important to understand that David was talking about the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. I want to prophesy tonight to some of you. I just see a breakthrough for you. And I'm asking you that if you got a need, plant a seed and get involved in the ministry of the seed of Abraham, blessed and highly favored. For God will give you desires of your heart. Don't let the devil ride. The devil tried to take over. I was in Monroe, Louisiana, and Brother Paul Jones came. He was very depressed, and he came to our church. One Friday he came. He said, Bishop, I just need prayer. And we prayed, the church prayed for him. But he said, I won't complain with the condition that they done gave me. I won't complain. And sometimes you got to stop complaining about your situation. You got to stop complaining about how things are. I was talking to a young lady was telling me that she seen a young girl, the daddy put the girl out, the girl ain't know where to stay. And she said, what does that mean? Because that means that for you to get busy, try to help these young folks. And these young folks need help. And they're taking drugs, and off them drugs, they stay crossed up and messed up. And what I mean by that, if they're addicted on drugs and pills, they die. So we got a lot of death going on in our community. But the Lord is my shepherd. Put that in your, write it in your Bible. The night before you go to bed, I know you know it by heart, read the 23rd number, just say the Lord is my, and then after you read it, make a request for you or somebody in your family that you want God to do something for. Sometimes it ain't you. It's somebody that you know that you need to whisper a prayer for them for God to do something for them. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't do it yourself. You have to let God do it for you. Because sometimes you say, what you looking for, Bishop? I'm looking for somebody to do what needs to be done. And what I'm saying to you, let go and let God do it for you. And I want to go from the 23rd, and I'm the Lord is my shepherd, and I won't. I want to prophesy to you tonight. God is going to put out a blessing for you this month. The angel Raphael is the angel of this month. This is the healing month. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to embrace that word tonight.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
I believe this passage to be one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible.
Yeah.
I believe that this passage is not only possibly better known than the average passage of Scripture, but that it has been whispered by more people in trouble.
Yeah.
It has been quoted by more people on sick beds. It has been uttered by more dying lips, possibly than any other passage in all of the Bible. It is said that once in London, England, there were a group of prophets entertainers in the city, and by some scheme, some enterprising person was able to get most of them together in one place, so as to demonstrate their gift.
Yeah.
And when all of them had gone through their routine, they came down to an orator and a minister. And both of them were requested to recite the 23rd Psalm. The orator employed all of his innate gift to speak, called upon all of his skill and gift of oratory. And when he had finished his recitation of this psalm, the house went up in thunderous applause.
Yeah.
And then the minister arose rather solemnly and proceeded to recite the same passage.
Yeah.
When he had finished, it is said that nobody applauded. But there was hardly a dry eye left in the house. The MC, upon commenting on the crew who had recited this passage, said the orator recited this passage like a man who knew it and was gifted to recite. But the minister recited it like a man who knew the shepherd of which it speaks. You know this, my brothers and my sisters, that that's something you knew about this pattern. It seems that the man who wrote this passage was a shepherd.
Yeah.
It has been ascribed to the authorship of David. However, David did not write all of the Psalms. Many of them were written by some of the priests and their aides about the temple.
Yeah.
Others were written by other patriarchs and saints. But there's something about this passage that seems to portray that its author was a man who knew something about a shepherd and sheep. Knew something about the shepherd's attitude toward the sheep. And then something about how the sheep rely upon the shepherd. Listen, if you please.
Yeah.
This is a gem when it comes to sacred lineage. This kind of testimony does just accidentally occur. You can't dream of something like this. To give off a testimony like this, you've got to have had some experience with God. You've got to been brought to a kind of a situation where you have to lay out upon God, fall out upon God, totally depend upon God. Listen up. The Lord is mine. I shall not walk. That's what I'm saying, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restored my soul. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. The folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord mean anything, let the saints of God say. Pray with me. David was off of this passage. Then he was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen, with a scepter of authority in his hand, the foothills and embattlements gathered before him. Yeah, he takes the retrospect back down to this in the past, and began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been army? It has been the Lord. Thus he says the Lord has been my friend. No wonder the man said, too many days of a thousand times. I have already it wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political things being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel. Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the king of Giant Goliath outside in the town of Shuba at the Valley of Elah with the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain and the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other. This man who had been decorated by his power and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You know how he repressed king.
Yeah.
He took them back.
Yeah.
And requested only his queen and God.
Yeah.
You know the victory that he brought to Israel.
Well.
And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed the new song.
Yeah.
And Saul had killed his mouth.
Yeah.
But David has killed his kin mouth.
Yeah.
You know the challenge there. That and how Saul sought to kill him.
Yeah.
And how he had to run and hide.
Well.
One day when there were a company of men coming in from the south.
Yeah.
And another company close in from the north.
Yeah.
And another one from the east and another one from the west.
Yeah.
And there was no escape for this.
Yeah.
And God whispered to a spike.
Yeah.
And Paul David to run in a cave.
Yeah.
And throw that spider to get busy.
Yeah.
And wear off that cave.
Yeah.
When the souls are back there.
Yeah.
God is my shepherd. And I shall not be left in war. That's what the man is talking about. I shall not want for companionship, for the Lord is my companion. I shall not want for guidance, for the Lord is my guide. I shall not want for protection, for the Lord protects me. He has it over me. And I rest on the wing of his house.
You know what I'm talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd.
Just make it please. Why? He says, yeah, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't lead me to climb down the hill.
Yes,
sir. At the highland jealousy. He takes me often to life, green pasture,
yeah.
Why the grass of his grain is good here, and why I can eat until my soul is satisfied. And when I feast it to my satisfaction, he lets me be laid down in a bed. Green pasture. Soul grace,
yeah.
To the soul satisfaction. I don't believe
believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Yes, he does. He opens up a private pool for my soul. And not only that, he restores my soul. Oh, it's pretty hard to define. Nobody can really say what soul is. I think as close as we can come is as bad as a little part of God. And soul has been defined as being one's ability to think about. One's ability to be considerate. One's ability to be considerate and compassionate. One's ability to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, now, if you've lost your ability to sympathize with others, if you are only interested in your own welfare, if you are inconsiderate of everybody except yourself, you have lost your growth. And David seems to found himself in that condition on one occasion. And then he went to God. And he created in him a clean heart. And renewed a right spirit within him. And then he starved his soul. I wish you knew what I was talking about tonight. No wonder then he said he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leadeth me. It is said that Dr. Ju, the great Chinese Christian, one day was standing out on a hill overlooking a little city in China where he was born. It is said that the Japanese plane, when China was at war, flew over and bombed the home of his church. Bombed the bank where he had his last night. Bombed the school of his childhood. Bombed the hospital where many of his friends and many of his neighbors were. Bombed everything. And when everything had gone up in flame and smoke, he thought about he had a little testament in his pocket. He reached in his pocket and it opened at the same time, the 23rd Psalm. And when everything was gone, he began reading, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yes, he does. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. You know, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know I would lose my way, but for the fact that the Lord leads me. Well, you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way. The way of truth is a narrow way. The way of love is a narrow way. The way of justice is a narrow way. Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way. And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God. But the reason why
humble myself alone,
the Lord leads me.
For the Lord in my have moved so courageously against the ramparts of racial injustice, and who in the process have applied a new
we will find
many of them are young in culture.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Pressing on. Pressing on. Paul addressed this letter to a group of Philippian Christians, people who had recently subscribed to the way of Christ and of God. We call your attention to the humility of this great apostle. We say that he was great. In fact, we think and many Bible students and scholars rate him next to Jesus as a preacher. For it was he who interpreted the Christian idea to the world. For Paul not only preached, but his ability rendered him able to write and therefore interpret this to the reading world, the Christian idea. And so in his epistle to these Christians, I want you first to consider not only his humility, but his sense of brotherliness. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Not only am I humble in my advice and in what I have to offer you, but I consider you as my brother. Listen at this great scholar who can speak seven languages fluently, who could speak or preach in Athens as easy as he could in Jerusalem, his own native town. A man who could address the philosophical groups. A man who could interpret and who had done a job for the Christian idea that we cannot even understand. And yet, not only was he a scholar, not only was he capable of speaking several languages, but he was a Jew, and more than a mere vagabond Jew, he was a Pharisee. And with all of these things to his credit, he declared, "I can't trust myself to have apprehended." Most of us can't stand having a little, not to mention all of this, to our credit, before we get our heads too big for our bodies. But this year, 1955, we ought to think in terms of brotherhood. We ought to think in terms of humility. Pray with me if you please. I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul gives himself credit for only one thing. He points up the fact that I have only one thing that I can boast of. That I am able to forget the things behind and press on toward the things which are before. Our great radio preacher for the National Council of Churches, Dr. Sockman, called this looking backwards in order to live forward. But you see, too many people look backwards and live backwards. Pray with me. Not only do they look back to the past, but they live in the past. Some people can't do anything today but reveling and boasting about what they used to do. Some people are bragging so much about what they did for the church. I heard one good member say, "Well, I'm going to sit around now, for I've done enough." When have you gotten to the place that you have done enough in the service of God? Paul was not able to say that until he came to the end. When he came to the end, only then did he say, "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course." You haven't done too much. If you are looking back with a view of guiding yourself for the future, it's good to look back. But if the past inhibits your service. If you cannot look back without doing that, at least in your mind, you ought to press on and look for.
I wish I had somebody here. Go ahead.
If there's something in the past that shackles you, if there's something in the past that mixes you up, then don't look back at least at that. You who are trying to build a family, you who are trying to build home, you who are at least going to try to stay together, don't keep on looking back. Old things that corrupt your relationship. Don't keep on looking back. You who consider yourselves Christian, you who have been in some church and some little approval arose, and you have stopped working, stopped doing your job because you can't help but look back on the old church. You ought to quit looking back and come on back and join the army and press on toward tomorrow. I wish you'd pray with me. I wish you'd pray with me. Paul said, you see, it takes a little growth. It takes a little strength. It takes a little love. It takes a little God to be able to say, I'm able to forget the things that are behind and press on toward the things that are before. Yeah, there are some good things in the past. History is a record of the past. Many good things. Possibly you have done a number of good things in the past. We're not trying to discredit what you've done or what your achievements have been in the past. We're simply saying, don't stagnate your growth and don't stagnate your possibilities by satisfying yourself with what you've done in the past. But whatever you have done in the past, you can do so many other good things in the future. And there are so many more things to do in the future. Isn't it so? So like Paul, you ought to feel reverent. You ought to feel humble. You ought to have only one thing to boast about, and that you're able to untie yourself from the past. You're able to cut out yourself from your weaknesses in the past, from your shortcomings in the past, from your mistakes in the past, and press on to be a better man, a better woman, a better child in the future than you've been in the past. I don't need to say anything. Yeah. No wonder, he said, or the songwriter said, I'm pressing on. Get up your way. New height I'm gaining every day. Still crying as I'm on the ground. Long plant my feet on fire. Yeah. Lord, lift me up. Lord, let me fight. What faith on heaven's tableland, a higher wing than our power. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Tell me if you please. Yes, there have been doubts in the past. There have been mountains in the past. There have been problems in the past. There have been trials and tests in the past. Tell me if you please. But if you look before you, you think with the hymn, as he died so many snacks, except for me, and mountains in my way. But in 1955, future that I got to go around. That rough road that I got to go around in the future. There are mountains to be climbed in the future. There are enemies to encounter in the future. Satan and his host will meet me in the future. I'm going to close with this story. I remember having heard a story of a young sprinter who became a world-renowned runner. This young man had won every local victory, had won every statewide victory, had won every national victory, had won even the international victory. And one day while walking around in a foreign city, he ran across an old man. The old man approached him, said to him, "I understand that you are that young runner. I understand that you are the young man who won all the lottery." The young man said, "Well, I guess you have heard of me." He said, "I'd like to challenge you to a race. I'd like to get a run with you." The young man looked on the old man in disgust and said, "Do you mean to tell me that here you are with your head white and with your body having been touched by old age? Having plowed furrows in your face, that you would put yourself up to run with me, knowing my victory, knowing my triumphs as a runner?" I heard the old man say, "Well, it's not going to hurt you. Certainly can't do you any harm. And if you're unafraid, run with me." After a long argument and after much disgust, the young man said, "Well, the track is just up the street. I know where the track is. I'll run with you a little while." Went in and said, "Let me dress and get myself together." Young man went in to dress, and the old man went in and dressed also. They walked out on the track, and as some timekeeper rung the gun, the young man started out in his usual graceful style, striding along with all of the grace and poise that an athlete could employ. But as he started along, the old man started along with him. As he ran along, my brothers and sisters, the old man ran at his side. And as he went around the first bend, the young man decided that he was going to put on a little more speed. For it was usually his custom, holy God, to wait until the first lap of the race before he got ready to go in. Oh Lord, but as he put on a little more speed, the old man picked up a little more himself. And as the young man looked to his side, he saw the old man still sitting by his side. And then, as it ran on a little more fire, the young man put on a little more speed. But the old man also put on speed. He ran a little further, and he got a little faster. But the old man got a little faster also. And in the home stretch, he put on all that he had. But the old man was still by his side. Oh, Lord. And when they got near the finish line, the old man ran out in lead and ran across the finish line ahead of the young man. The young man was astonished. The young man was outdone. He sat down and said, "Do you mind telling me who you are? And what is your name?" "An old man at your age, outrunning me." Oh Lord, the old man sat down with confidence on his brow and said, "You mean to tell me that you don't know who I am? That I'm, and I'll tell you. Yes, I know you're a famous runner, but I myself am also a famous runner. I've had many a race, and I too never lost the race." The young man said, "Well, that's why I'm not.
work, but college just wasn't in the cards for me. This job was a game changer. It's a stable career and a good paycheck. The Workers' Rights Amendment will keep more jobs like this.
Okay.
We have discovered so many.
Thank you.
Thank you.